विसर्गाद्या श्मशानान्ता भावदेहस्य नात्मना कलानामिव चन्द्रस्य काले नाव्यक्तवर्त्मना विसर्गाद्याः श्मशानान्ता भावदेहस्य नात्मना कलानामिव चन्द्रस्य काले नाव्यक्तवर्त्मना विसर्गाद्याः श्मशानान्ता भावदेहस्य नात्मना कलानामिव चन्द्रस्य काले नाव्यक्तवर्त्मना मृगाद्या श्मशानान्ता देहस्य आत्मना मृगाद्या श्मशानान्ता भावदेहस्य नात्मना कलानामिव चन्द्रस्य काले नाव्यक्तवर्तना माताजीस विसर्गा बर्थ आद्यः बिगिनिंग विद स्मशान द टाइम ऑफ डेथ व्हेन द बॉडी इज बर्न टू एशेस अंतः एंडिंग विद भावः द स्टेट्स देहस्य ऑफ द बॉडी न नॉट आत्मनः ऑफ द सोल कालानम ऑफ द डिफरेंट फेजेस इव एज चंद्रस्य ऑफ द मून कालेन बाय टाइम अव्यक्त इम्परसेप्टिबल वर्तमना हुज मूवमेंट सो ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद द वेरियस फेजेस ऑफ वन्स मटेरियल लाइफ बिगिनिंग विद बर्थ एंड कल्मिनेटिंग इन डेथ are all properties of the body and do not affect the soul. Just as the apparent waxing and waning of the moon does not affect the moon itself, such changes are enforced by the imperceptible movements of time. Purport. The body undergoes six changes: birth, growth, maintenance, production of byproducts, dwindling and death. Similarly, the moon appears to grow, diminish and finally disappear. Since moonlight is a lunar reflection of sunlight, it is understood that the moon itself does not grow or diminish. Rather, we perceive the reflection of the moon in various phases. Similarly, the eternal soul is not born, nor does it die. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.20, Na jayate mriyate va kadachid. We perceive the reflection of the soul in the form of the gross material body and a subtle mind which undergo various material changes. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the sun is a fiery planet and the moon is a watery planet. This is also confirmed by Srila Jiva Goswami and further illustrates the ignorance of modern science about the actual nature of the moon planet. Om Agyan Timirandasya ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavasya Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripasindubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So seeking blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can serve in some way. So in today's verse and the purport, there is a mention of change. Six changes, the body goes under six changes, undergo six changes. And if we look at our life, these changes are inevitable. And the comfort which we have, that gets disturbed when there is a change. And naturally, it creates a stress. So, here we are talking about birth, growth, maintenance, production of byproducts, then dwindling and death. Now, right from birth, if you look at, you know, since last 1 year, I have been working in the hospital, and all these six changes are very grossly can be seen and experienced, where, you know, there is a birth which is happening. Yeah, on one floor there is birth, another floor there is growth which is happening, maintenance, everybody comes for maintenance, somebody's back is having pain or some other accident, something, so maintenance, production and byproducts again is birth, and dwindling, you know, people in the ICU or any other ward, and you know, it is really miserable to see the kind of miseries. All the miseries are visible, showcased in the hospital. And of course the death, which can occur any time. But this is very closely observed. And because of these changes, like today in corporate world also, people talk about change management or stress management. Because every stage there is a change, and as soon as there is a change, definitely there is a stress which is created. So, you know, that's why we see so many training programs today, even for life skills also. Somebody is going to give birth, there is a training. Then the child is growing, there is a training, parenting courses. Then they are growing, adolescences or, you know, career, so many things. So every step some kind of support, some kind of counseling, some kind of training which is required. And everyone feels that, okay, I can be happy. There are change. When I do some changes are there, I can be happy. Like a child who is going to a kindergarten actually sees that there are children who are in the primary school and they have certain facilities, certain kind of dress code. And, you know, they feel that, oh, I should be like that. And as soon as they get into that, they have one aspect of comfort, but there is another aspect of misery also. The higher studies, more studies, you know. And this is not only for the school. I mean, as soon as you graduate, you start working, till the time you are studying, you are actually learning and you are dependent, and then you start working and you start earning money. You feel that, okay, I should earn money and, you know, I have my own money. No, I don't have to depend on my father or mother. But different kind of challenges start coming. So these changes are not easy to handle. And how do we manage? Most of the times that is what defines the success, how we are going to manage our life. And many self-help books are there which will talk about different kind of techniques to manage these changes. But these changes, if you look at it, these books which we are helping us, again, are not a foolproof solution, and it may be required at some places, and to do the needful it is required. But the most important thing which is discussed here in this chapter is about the knowledge of the soul. And Bhagavad Gita is a book which talks about the most important change management. The stress, how it is there. Now, if you look at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself, starts with Arjuna, you know, getting into a stress. He needed change management. He was a warrior, he was a Kshatriya, and he could easily, fight wars. There was nothing like, you know, he was not doing it for the first time. But when he came on the battlefield, and then he realized that who are the people who are standing in front of me, and now I have to fight with them, I have to kill them. Now that was a change, you know, and that created that stress. And then ultimately he of course took the shelter of Lord Krishna, and the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Similarly, we see even in the case of Dhruva Maharaj also, the childhood was going on very nicely, and one desire of, you know, sitting on the lap of his own father, and, you know, he was taken away from that, from the father's lap, again which created that stress. And then he took shelter of his mother, who ultimately guided him to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So this knowledge, the fundamental knowledge in the second chapter, as it is the verse also quoted in this purport, is 2.20. And there are many other verses in the Bhagavad Gita which talks about the fundamental aspect of life, that is the knowledge of the soul, and how these phases, the material body undergoes this growth and dwindling, is very well explained. So one of the verse which also talks is 2.13, that is Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dehas tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth and old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such change. So this being sober or having knowledge of this is not bewildered. But till the time we don't have this knowledge, we don't have the realizations, we will be in this bewildered state at different stages. So even from this verse we can actually learn that the transformation of body is inevitable. No? There is like, if you see the story of Gautam Buddha, his father Suddhodan, he was told that, you know, your son Siddhartha, Prince Gautam Buddha was known as Siddhartha, and he was told that your son will be a saintly king, a saintly person, he will be renounced, or he will be a saintly king. And so he did not want him to be a renounced person. So he always wanted him that you should remain a king and continue the kingdom, taking care of the kingdom. And what happened was that he was kept in a nice palace, and he was given all beautiful people were around him, so that he will not see the misery of the world. But Siddharth, he decided at the age of 29, he decided that, okay, I want to see the kingdom. And he went out on the chariot. And as soon as he went out of the chariot on the street, first person he saw was an old man with wrinkled face, walking with a stick. So he was bewildered that, he had never seen such kind of a person, because he was always surrounded by young, beautiful people. Next he went and he saw a person lying on the bed and groaning and in the pain. And he was wondering, what is happening to this person? And further he went and he saw that some people, they were carrying a dead body and they're crying out loudly. So he became bewildered, what is this happening? And then while walking, he met a monk, a sadhu, and he asked, what is this? And the sadhu said that, what you have just seen is old age, disease and death. So that transformed his thing, that this material world is like this, and I have to take shelter of the Supreme. And then he chose the path of spirituality from there. And we can see that another thing which we can learn is that we can't conquer death with our own strength or somebody else's strength also. So many examples which we see, there is one small story which gives this analogy, that once there was a parrot, and this parrot was sitting in the forest, and suddenly he observed that there is a Yamaduta who has come and who is looking at him. So this parrot got scared, that why this Yamaduta is looking at me? So he flew from that place, went on the other tree, sat there. Again he saw that Yamaduta staring at him. So it was very bewildering. So then he said, it is very difficult. Sometimes somebody starts staring at you continuously. very difficult. You become nervous. Why this person is looking at me? And so he called out. He called out to his supreme master, that is bird Garuda. And Garuda came, that, okay, what is the problem? Why are you so nervous? What is the problem? He said that this Yamaduta is looking at me, staring at me. So he said, don't worry, just sit on my back and I'll take you. So he said, this parrot sat on the back of this Garuda bird, and Garuda took him to Kailash Sarovar, Kailash mountain. And he sat there, and as soon as they landed there and he was sitting peacefully, he thought, okay, now I have no problem, no Yamaduta. And suddenly he looked and he saw the same Yamaduta staring at him at that Kailash mountain also. So now he was bewildered. Now Garuda also thought, why are you behind this fellow? Why don't you just leave him alone? So what is this happening? So Yamaduta said, I was wondering. You might have heard this story earlier, but I'm just repeating. I'm wondering that this person, this parrot, was supposed to die at Kailash mountain, and few minutes back he was in that forest. How is that he's going to come here? So you became the instrument, Yamaduta said, you became the instrument to bring him to this Kailash mountain. So thank you for doing this. So now this parrot was taking shelter of Garuda, who was the king for them, but he was not saved. Similarly, even many times we see that some terminal diseases, the doctor also says that I can't do anything. Now just pray to the Lord. That is the only thing which we can do. And we see from the life of the great king Alexander, so when he was dying, he said that, I have three wishes. My first wish is that, I want my physicians to carry my coffin when I die. And when my body is taken for cremation, you know, I wish to strew gold, silver and other riches on the way to the grave. And the third wish, he said that, you know, when I am buried, please keep my hands dangling out of the coffin. So the minister, he said, yes, king, as per your desire, we will do the needful. But why do you feel, why you want this kind of things to be done? What is the purpose of this? So he said that my physicians, I want them to carry this because I want to show to the world that even my physicians, they cannot save me from death. They cannot give me life. Then all my wealth I want to strew on the path to the grave, because I want to tell the world that whatever I fought for, whatever money, whatever wealth I have earned, I will not be able to carry it when I am dying. And the third thing is that he says that I want to keep my hands dangling because I want to show to the world that when I came to this world, I did not have anything. And now when I'm going empty-handed. Of course, we understand with the philosophy, he must have carried his karma also, which may not be seen in his hand. But that's the way he was thinking. Even Prabhupada told many times about Walt Disney, that how Walt Disney, you know, he wanted to invest that so much on research, how a dead body can be, a life can be revived in the dead body. And his body was kept for few months. You know, they are trying to preserve so that if the research is happened, we can bring back his life. But unfortunately, I mean, the scientists, they made their money, the researchers, they made their money, but nothing could happen. In fact, there was anxiety for the people, his relatives. They said, if he's brought back, then what about the property which we are going to get? We are not going to get. So finally they took the decision that let's end this chapter and, you know, bury him. So basically, you know, this death is inevitable and nothing can prevent that. So what are we, what is the option? You know, these are the challenges, but if we see, we have to see all these things from the spiritual platform, and our acharyas, they put us on the spiritual platform. So when His Grace Ambarish Prabhu, when he met Srila Prabhupada for the first time, the devotees brought Ambarish Prabhu in front of Srila Prabhupada and introduced, he is the great grandson of Henry Ford. And Prabhupada asked one simple thing. I think that was like most surprising question, which normally when we are introduced to a great personality or the personality's son, you know, we feel, oh, such a great person, pleasure to meet you. Prabhupada asked him, so where is he now? You know, that was a very surprising question, you know, and that made Ambarish Prabhu start thinking, you know, that this body is not permanent. The soul is the only thing which is permanent, but the body is not permanent. And many of acharyas, even Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the beautiful bhajan which is there, Bhuliya Tomare, Sansare Achiya, the entire description is there, how a child is born and then he is in the womb, how the child is praying that I will take shelter of the Lord, and then he comes out, and then gradually, you know, so much of love and affection is given by the parents. All these things are happening, and then he forgets, the child forgets to take care, to worship the Lord, and goes to the different phases, start studying, learning, education, start earning money, and by that time the old age comes, and in the whole process we forget to take shelter of the Lord, and then it is old age where it is very difficult to take shelter of the Lord, to chant the holy name, because of different various conditions, you know, we find that it becomes very difficult. There is a story of which, again, all of you might have heard this story of the Kailash and the Narad Muni. So when the Kailash is a small boy, and Narad Muni tells him that, okay, you come to the spiritual world with me. And he says, I'll come, just give me some time. And he just kept postponing that. Right? He kept postponing, and ultimately what happened? That his children, they grew up. And then he was thinking, let me take care of them, let me take care of my wealth. So he died and he became a snake. And finally Narad Muni had to teach a lesson to him by telling his relatives, his own son and relatives, they started beating him with a stick. So we need that stick of the acharyas to constantly remind us that what is the real goal. The acharyas are telling through various ways, sometimes through bhajans, through the scriptures, sometimes to their instructions, then sometimes their actions. So we see this, that how we can look at all these things at a spiritual platform. Many of the devotees, many devotees in ISKCON also, they left their body in such a wonderful consciousness, right from Srila Prabhupada. You know, always on the deathbed also, he was translating till the end moment of his life. He was translating the purport, giving the purport, translating the shlokas, and for the welfare of us. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you know, it is such a wonderful departure, you know, we see. So all these personalities, they are teaching us this principle of having this knowledge of the soul and being connected on the higher planet, on a higher platform. So these six changes, if we don't have to face these six changes, that is how we have to lead our life. Many times it is said that, you know, life is a preparation and death is the examination. So how we prepare ourselves, that is something important. And if you look at even the NOI, third verse, Rupa Goswami also talks about the six processes for purification, for devotional service. The success of devotional service, he talks about these six things which we need to do. So these six changes, you know, which are causing stress and anxiety, those can be counteracted with these six points which are given by Rupa Goswami. That is, being enthusiastic, utsahat nishyad, enduring with confidence, being patient, and acting in according to regulatory principles of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Then abandoning the association of wrong people who are not devotees, and following the footsteps of acharyas. So these are the six things which Rupa Goswami recommends, you know, which can counteract these six changes and bring us to the platform of realizing what is the soul. So there are various lessons. So this is basically in this verse, the moon is the spiritual master. He was teaching us various lessons, and this is one of the lessons, you know, which he is teaching, that the body is, the different phases of moons are there, and in these phases what we are seeing is that the moon is there, but we actually don't see the moon in all these things. Sometimes it is visible, sometimes not visible. So Prabhupada said that there it is better to have one moon than 1,000 stars. So what does this mean is that there are thousands of stars, but they cannot give us the same light which the moon can give. So Prabhupada said that better to have one moon and then 1,000 stars. So there are some more lessons which we can learn from this moon. Moon is a personality, is a person, although we perceive more as a planet, but we can learn so many other lessons also. So I'll try to speak about some of these lessons which we can learn from the moon. So one thing is that the moon is fixed in his orbit. You know, he is now, as per the modern science, the moon is rotating around the earth and the earth is rotating on the sun, all these things. But scriptures, the shastras say different things. We will not get into those technicalities. But just understanding this concept of being in the orbit, keeping, let us learn that one, understand one thing is that how if we are in the orbit of our spiritual master, you know, following their instructions, who is in turn the following the instructions of the Lord. So if we are fixed ourselves in this kind, this way, in the orbit of the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and also in the association of devotees, it's very important that we remain in that orbit and don't go out of that orbit. The star falls. How? Because they actually go out of that orbit and they vanish. So we don't want to be vanished from this pure, the path of pure devotional service. To remain that fixed in that is very, very important. So that is one lesson which we can learn from moon. Many times, at least those who are grihasthas, sometimes, at least we have experienced, I have personally experienced, whenever we go for a vacation and we are just trying to have some good time, you know, and at least when we go and then we feel that, oh, I wish, initial thought is that, okay, let me go and enjoy somewhere, but when we go there and then we actually start missing the devotees. And many times we have expressed to my wife, and she also expressed to me that I wish we had devotees along with us. You know, so that association is very important, and our life should be such that, you know, it shouldn't happen that, you know, we should say, okay, it's okay, I can live without devotees. We have to have that shelter of the association of devotees. Many times we take it casually. That we see, oh, so many devotees are sitting here, you know, I see them everywhere, every day. What is so great about this? But we realize it when we lose it, the importance of that. For some time, even if you are away, then you start missing them. Sometimes it is difficult to interact with each other, husband, wife, or even the ashram also, you know, two different personalities, difficult. But ultimate binding factor is that everyone is trying to take shelter of the Lord, and only that association will keep us going. So that is one thing which we can learn from the moon, to remain fixed in that orbit. The other thing which is that the sun does not have its own power of illumination. In this purport also it is mentioned that he receives this light from the sun, and he is just being the instrument of giving whatever he has received from the sun. So he is teaching us that how we can also be the instrument of what we have received from the Lord, received from the acharyas. And if we do keep doing our service in that mood, then it is pleasing to the Lord. And then there is no question of being proud, even if you achieve something. And there is no question of feeling depressed or morose that, oh, I could not do it. Because you just become the media to transfer what we have received. Now, many times before the Bhagavatam, which we recite this verse also, Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim. So, what does this mean? That, you know, even a dumb person can turn into eloquent speaker, or enable the lame to cross the mountain. This is the mercy of the Lord. So we can be just part of that mercy, transformation of that mercy from the Lord. So we can also become part of this process. The another thing is that we learn from the moon is giving what you have received. So now, looking at the sun, it's not easy, especially when the sun is right on the top at 12 o'clock. Looking at the sun directly, it's not easy. But what moon is doing is taking all this heat, all this scorching light which is there, he's taking that and he's assimilating and giving us a very pleasant, soothing light. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, in the age of Kali Yuga, he gave this process. The earlier ages, the process for self-realization were not so easy for the age of Kali Yuga. He made those things very simple for us. Just chanting of the holy name is a comparatively very simple process. So Lord Chaitanya is also considered as Gaura Chandra. So many times the moon has played the role of, you know, comparison. It is such a soothing thing. The Lord is always compared with the moon. Gaura Chandra, Krishna Chandra, or Nitai Chandra, Rama Chandra. So similarly, Prabhupada also, in the similar mood, you know, he made things so simple for us. So many difficult scriptures which are probably not easy to understand, and Srila Prabhupada actually made it very simple to understand. And if you meet so many people, when during the book distribution we meet people, and sometimes they say that, okay, that we have this Bhagavad Gita. And they tell that we have read so many Bhagavad Gitas, but this is the simplest way to understand Bhagavad Gita, which is written by Prabhupada. And Prabhupada made it so easy for, you know, the Western people or people from India also to make this understand. So he made that process very easy for us. Another lesson which we can learn from the moon is, the moon is going through these different phases, you know, Dvitiya, Tritiya, Chaturthi. So the size of the moon is sometimes small, sometimes the Purnima is the full moon, is the big sun, which big moon which we see. So the moon is teaching us that in the service of the Lord, we should be ready to become small or big as it is required. And we see that from even the pastime of Hanumanji, when Hanumanji was flying to over the ocean, and the Surasa, the serpent, the queen of the serpent, mother of the serpents, she was trying to devour him. And all of us know this pastime, how she said that you have to go through my mouth to my stomach, without that you cannot go from here. Anyone passes here is my food. And the Hanumanji started becoming big, big, big. And she also started becoming big. And Hanumanji then suddenly became small, entered the mouth of Surasa, went to the stomach and just came out and pleased her. So in the service of Lord also, we may have to take such positions, you know, which sometimes we may become prominent, we may be on the forefront doing services, and sometimes we may be asked to do some services which are not visible. Now, coming to the temple and doing services in the temple in front of all the devotees or in the association of devotees is very easy, and people appreciate us. Oh, you are doing such a wonderful service, so many things you are doing. But the same thing, if we are at home, are we doing the same, do we have the same service mood to serve the people at home, to our wife or husband or parents or children? Because nobody is seeing, nobody is there to appreciate, you know, that okay, do this. So that mood has to be there, that, you know, whenever required for the service, we should take the position accordingly. One example, which is one of my favorite example also, personality, is Grace Jayanand Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He was such a great person. When it used to be a Jatha Yatra, he used to be like a warrior and doing so many things, right from building that cart, organizing the entire Rath Yatra, everything he was doing. And once that was done, then he used to be like, he used to become like a small person, and a person who's, he will just start doing the services of cleaning the temple, carrying the garbage bags, all these things he was doing. So person who walks in may not even understand that how great this personality it is. So that is one thing which I remember always. So another thing is, from lesson which we learn from the moon, is the moon is very soothing. Just looking at the moon, especially the full moon, is very, very soothing. And so the comparison is done in many, very various bhajans also. And especially on Nityanand Trayodashi, we sing this Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitala. So that comparison is given. Narottam Das Thakur sings this bhajan and teaching us that, you know, how soothing or pleasant just it will be, our life will become by just taking shelter of Lord Nityananda. And this is something which we have to a character of a devotee. By looking at the devotee, we feel that soothing effect. So that is why it is called Chandramukhi. A devotee cannot be like a Suryamukhi, you know, just scaring people or, you know. So of course different personalities are there, but at least at the heart one has to be Chandramukhi, at least, you know, they're pleasant. And that's what we see, that many times people get, at least when I first time I met a devotee, and these devotees were like so pleasant to talk to, and they are the kind of the tej on their faces. So all these things are very, very natural, and it's very important also. By just looking at the person, a devotee can be recognized. Sometimes even in the offices, you know, a person walks in. So I was working in the one organization, and a person walked in, and he was wearing a tie, and of course he was not wearing tilak or anything, but just looking at him, I felt that he is a devotee. He must be a devotee. And he came to my desk, and I had kept the photograph of Radha Gopinath, and he said, "Oh, are you connected to Radha Gopinath temple?" Yeah, yes. No, I am also connected. And he was not from Mumbai, he was from Delhi. So he had come to Mumbai, and he said, "Oh, I am also connected." So immediate that bonding, you know, just by seeing this, I felt that, you know, this person is there. So, you know, that way the connection happens. And of course this moon is playing this role of a servant in the various pastimes of the Lord, right? You look at Sharad Purnima, we have a darshan of Sharad Purnima, and many times we see such a beautiful darshan, and there is a moon which is made here. Now, invariably, because that is the day at least people look at the moon on the altar also, apart from Radha Gopinath, Gaurnitya and Gopalji, we see that moon also. So he is silently playing the role, you know, he's not in the forefront, he's just at the background, but playing his role. It's like any drama, the lighting is a very important aspect of that, to make it effective. So he's just playing that role of being effective, remaining at the background. So the moon is playing so many wonderful roles and teaching us. He's also teaching us being invisible or visible leadership. You know, this is another concept of invisible leadership, which at least I read in open-eyed meditation written by our Shubhavilas Prabhu. Very nice points, really liked. And today, this kind of things are discussed in the corporate world also. You know, fortunately, slowly people are moving towards these core principles. And we see the example of how the Jambuvan actually, he told, reminded Hanumanji that you have the strength to fly over this ocean and come back. So he did not play a prominent role, but he just reminded. And carrying that same legacy, Hanumanji again in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he could have killed all the Kauravas alone, but he just was there on the flag of Arjuna's chariot. So he was there playing that silent role. So, but giving the inspiration, you know. So that is another thing which we can learn from the moon. Another prominent thing which we see on the moon is, all of us have seen and learned this in our childhood also, that there is a mark, a dark mark, you know, the rabbit. People say different things. Sometimes they say rabbit, something else, you know. But generally it appears like it's a dark spot on the moon. And that is also another lesson which we can learn. So even that reference comes in Narasimha Purana also. So I found this verse there, that it says that Bhagavati cha harava ananya cheta vrusha malinopi virajate manushya nahi shasha kalusha chabhi kadachid timira parabhavatam upaiti chandraha. The meaning is that even if one fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities, these activities should be considered to be like the spots that resembles the mark of a rabbit on the moon. And such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. So this is another thing which we can learn from the moon, that we see so many devotees, and there may be faults in our devotees. Each person has their baggage which they are carrying, and there may be some shortcoming, some fault. But we should not look at those spots and say, oh, there is a spot on that devotee on the moon. So we just see the effulgence, the good things which the moon is giving to us. So that can be seen, that can be learned through the moon. And so many glowworms, they come at night, you see there are so many glowworms are there. And they are shining and they are close to our vision, and then we said, oh, so beautiful. But their life is limited. The moon is permanent, he is there always in the sky to do his service. So we don't want to be like those glowworms, or like, as Prabhupada said, thousand stars. We don't want to be like those thousand stars, but a moon which is very stable in nature. So I'll conclude with one small wordings of Srila Prabhupada. Yesterday I received this from one of my dear devotee friend. And I'll just read out this very nice and very connected to this particular verse. So these are the words spoken by Srila Prabhupada shortly after he reached Vrindavan Dham to leave his body in 1977. So Prabhupada said that, so I cannot speak, I am feeling weak. I was to go to other places like Chandigarh, but I cancelled the program because the condition of my health is very deteriorating. So I prefer to come to Vrindavan. If death takes place, Let's take here. So here is nothing new to be said. Whatever I have to speak, I have spoken in my books. Now you try to understand it and continue your endeavor. Whether I am present or not present, it does not matter. As Krishna is living eternally, similarly the living being also lives eternally. But one who has done service to the Lord lives forever. So you have been taught to serve Krishna, and Krishna, with Krishna we will live eternally. Our life is eternal. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. A temporary disappearance of this body, it doesn't matter. Body is meant for disappearance. Tatha dehandar prapti. So live forever by serving Krishna. Thank you very much. These are the words of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is teaching us that, you know, of course Prabhupada went to Vrindavan. We don't know whether at the time of death, whether we will go to Vrindavan, but we can certainly try to be in that Vrindavan consciousness. You know, we can bring that heart in Vrindavan. That can be our endeavor. And whenever, in whichever situation the death may come, we have seen so many devotees, they are leaving their body in situations which may not be in holy places. And maybe accidents also, recent case also, which we are still in that shock. But these devotees, their consciousness was always in Vrindavan. And that is the ultimate goal. Whether at the time of death, whether we remember the Lord or not, that is going to decide the success of our life. That is what we can learn from the moon. So every aspect of our life is teaching us something or the other. Every person is teaching. That person may be relevant, big or small. That person or that things of this world, they are actually teaching us something or the other, some lessons or the other from to live. So thank you very much for your patience and tolerance. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.